friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Kiev, the Ukrainian capital, where football fans are looking forward to Saturday's UEFA Champions League final between Liverpool and two-time defending champion Real Madrid. Egyptian fan Omar is in Kiev, and he says he's supporting Mohamed Salah and the Reds of Liverpool.
We are all coming here to support Mohamed Salah and support Liverpool. We are all fans of Liverpool. We are from Egypt, and we wish luck for Liverpool, and we wish it will be a very good match.
Omar and more than a few other Egyptian fans are hoping national hero Mohamed Salah can once again provide goal-scoring inspiration for Liverpool. Mighty Mo traveled to Kiev after a dazzling debut season with Liverpool, in which he scored a record 32 goals in the English Premier League and 44 goals in all competitions. Salah also helped Egypt qualify for the World Cup tournament in Russia, which kicks off in exactly 20, count them, 20 days in Moscow. In Kiev, Mohamed Salah is matched against Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo of Real Madrid, who led all scorers in the UEFA Champions League this season with 15 goals. Salah and Liverpool teammate Roberto Firmino are next with 10 goals each. Real Madrid is bidding for a third consecutive European title and record-extending 13th overall. Liverpool, meanwhile, is aiming for a sixth UEFA Champions League trophy and first since 2005. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Kwesi Nyatachi, head of the Ghana Football Association and a member of the FIFA Council, has been arrested and detained after a complaint from the president of Ghana, Nana Akufo-Addo. Nyatachi is the second CAF delegate on FIFA Council to run into domestic difficulties in the past 6 weeks after Constant Omari Selemani in DR Congo. A spokesman for Akufo-Addo's office told local media that Nyatachi has been recorded using the name of the president and other senior government officials to try to persuade potential investors to part with money.
The president, as a responsible citizen, has had to consult and evaluate the content of this investigative piece. The president, after these consultations, is fully satisfied that a prima facie basis has been established for criminal investigations to be launched into the conduct of the president of the Ghana Football Association, Mr. Kwesi Nyantachi.
And now to the preparations for the Super Eagles ahead of the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia. Chelsea right wing-back Victor Moses will not train with the Super Eagles on Nigerian soil before the 2018 World Cup in Russia. The Nigerian Football Federation tweeted that the Blues number 15 will join the team in London ahead of the friendly with England on June the 2nd. And staying with the Super Eagles preparation, Leicester City midfielder Wilfred Ndidi has recovered faster than expected from a hamstring injury and will soon join Nigeria's full World Cup training. Meanwhile, coach Garrett Rao says the Super Eagles will need mental toughness to defend and attack as a team when they face their opponents when the World Cup begins in Russia next month.
We have a team who must win together playing a quality football, because not one person, even not Obi Mikel, can make us winning alone. So this is the first thing we decided, to have a quality. Everybody is attacking when we have the ball. Everybody has to defend when we don't have the ball.
And to another World Cup bound team, Morocco, a friendly match between the national football teams of Morocco and Ukraine will be held in Switzerland on May 31st. in Zambia. The head coach of the Zambian national soccer team, Wetsi Urenda, has resigned from his position. The general secretary of the country's soccer governing body, Ponga Liwewe, who announced the resignation on Thursday, said the process to fill the vacancy will begin soon and that the association will conclude the process in the shortest possible time to meet upcoming engagements. Urenda served as national soccer team coach from September 2016 to May 2018. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. We heard Samson report on Nigeria's preparations for a sixth World Cup appearance. At the club level, the recent performances by Nigerian teams has drawn criticism from some fans. Some attribute the poor runs to the management of the Nigerian Professional Football League. Others say it's caused by the lure of players to leave the country and compete in Europe and abroad. Paul Bassey is the chairman of Akwa United, a football club based in Uyo, Nigeria. In a conversation with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye, he rejected some of the criticism about the skill level in the Nigerian league.
I don't agree with those who say there's no quality in the league. There's a lot of quality in the league as per the teams and so on. I have said some time ago that we still need to find a way to keep our quality players. Every Nigerian player wants to get out. You know, there's always a divided interest, loss of focus. In my team now, I have about 5 players who want me to give them a chance to go abroad. Partly because of the economy, partly because of the belief that it's only when you get to Togo or you get to Benin is when they invite you to come and play for the national team and so on. The other thing I've always harped upon is the league calendar. Now, if the league had ended now, as I'm talking to you, the English league has ended, the German league has ended, you have enough time to recoup, bring in some players, train as a team, and get ready for the continent. The situation where the league ends in November, and in January, December, you are told to register players. The boys have not gone on break. The quality you are bringing in, you don't have the time to put them together, for them to gel. It's always tough, very tough.
Like, do you think that a time will come when our clubs will start doing well in the continent?
No, I believe so. That's why we are looking at some of these factors that I'm talking to you about. One, there must be, in the league, there are about 4 or 5 clubs that are paying well. I mean, if a Nigerian player is earning $1 million, 700,000, 800,000, he's most likely to relax. Because he goes outside there, he's talking about being paid $1,000, $1,500, which is just about 400,000 and so on. Sometimes they just believe, give me those dollars, I'll send them home and change, I'll get a lot of money. That's the economy. The other one is that, like I said to you, you must be able, even the economy. I was in the continent. I know what it cost me to fly 30 people to Tunisia. The booking, the timely release of funds. Close to 100% of our teams are government sponsored. And by the time you are looking for money, they say release is different from approval. The process of planning for Africa, booking a flight, getting the acclimatization and everything, is a factor. But if you have the time to be able to get tuned up to the calendar, I'm going to Tunisia, for instance. At what time am I going to Tunisia? The jerseys I have, are they sufficient? Would I have long sleeve? So many things that are working against our success of our clubs. So many of them. We have to sit down, talk about them, and analyze them, and get them right, you know.
You belong to the club. I think there is a club owners association in Nigeria. You belong there. Have you sat down with the League Management Committee and the Nigerian Football Federation to look into some of these issues?
We fight a lot of fighting house. We do that. And the league is run by the LMC. The club owners have put in their view. I was one of those who believed some time ago that we have an abridged league. The only way we can get back into the European calendar is to have an abridged league. Mm-hmm. If you have an abridged league, no matter what you call it, North versus South, and then after a few matches, the league has ended, you restructure, and then we get back into the full thing, you know. So that is there. We discuss these things. The peculiarity of Nigeria is also, I don't know, it's a systemic thing. Some time ago, we said, okay, when we have public holidays, let the league continue. There are those who say, no, Muslim holidays, Christian holidays, by the time you add them together, the league is suffering, you have to postpone the league, you have to do this, and it keeps on dragging and dragging. It doesn't help us in the continent. We must be structured, we must be organized, we must have enough funds. As I'm talking to you, the sponsors, LMC is still trying to put the sponsors together. The league is run without sponsors, television sponsorship. Television rights is the greatest sponsorship ever that you can get. For now, we don't have. So all those things affect the league. You know, I believe we'll get there. It's sad. It's sad because I sit down. I was in the continent. Other clubs go there by 6-0, 3-0, 4-0. By the time you come back, you can hardly recover. You know, so these are some of the factors that I believe that if we look into them and consider them, definitely we have a better outing in the continent. Definitely. I'm so sure of that.
That's Paul Bassey, the chairman of Aqua United Football Club. And Paul was talking with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Uyo, the capital of Nigeria's Akwa Ibom State. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to athletics, Britain's multiple Olympic and world champion on the track, Mo Farah, will take another step in his marathon career when he runs the London 10,000 road race in the heart of the capital on Monday. After breaking the British marathon record to finish third in the London Marathon last month, Farah has returned to racing the shorter distances on the road, but with the top marathon prizes in mind. From London, the energetic Andy Edwards looks ahead to Monday's race.
His marathon education continues. Earlier this month, Mo Farah returned to racing following his impressive performance in the London Marathon, winning over 10 kilometres in Manchester in central England. Now he will race the same distance as he returns to the event where he set the course record and his own personal best of 27 minutes 44, all of 8 years ago, beating the Kenyan Mika Kogo. His third place in the London Marathon, running 2:06:21 behind the winner Eliud Kipchoge, showed that Farah can mix it with the best in the marathon. He has since spoken of his plans to run the World Championship Marathon in Doha next year, with the ultimate goal being Tokyo's Olympic race in 2020. Farah and his marathon coach, Gary Locke, the partner of the women's world record holder Paula Radcliffe, have shown themselves to be a potent combination. The athlete appears to relish this new challenge after so many years of track dominance, commenting before the London Marathon on his situation now compared to his marathon debut 4 years ago.
2014 was more thinking on the backside of, yes, I don't want to lose the speed, I still want to do track and have that back of your mind. Well, this year it's gone completely different. Me and Gary had a good chat and planned everything, and the aim is just, you know, go hard at it and see what we can do. And it's been difficult at times in terms of obviously, you know, putting the miles, putting the work, but I really enjoyed it.
No matter how gifted, switching from the track to become a pure marathon runner is a big challenge.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The examples of Paul Tergat, Haile Gebrselassie, and Kenani Sebekele prove that. It can take even the greatest time to adapt. The London 10,000 on Monday marks another step, the need for the marathoner to retain some speed in their legs. There is no news at present of Mo Farah running an autumn marathon, but this race, which finishes in front of Buckingham Palace and takes in many of the city's landmarks, is a timely return to action. For the Sunny Side of Sport, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. And I know you'll have a sporty and energetic weekend ahead of Monday's race. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In pro boxing, former world heavyweight champion Jack Johnson, who died in 1946 at the age of 68, has received a posthumous pardon from President Trump here in Washington.
I've issued an executive grant of clemency, a full pardon, posthumously, to John Arthur Jack Johnson. He was known as Jack Johnson, the first African-American heavyweight champion of the world, a truly great fighter, had a tough life. They say he violated the Mann Act, and he had a conviction that occurred during a period of tremendous racial tension in the United States more than a century ago. Johnson served 10 months in federal prison for what many view as a racially motivated injustice. He was treated very rough, very tough.
President Trump mentioned how Jack Johnson was in prison for violating the Mann Act. It was a law that prosecutors used against Johnson because of his relationships with white women. During his fighting days, Jack Johnson was harshly criticized by the white mainstream media in the USA for his flashy lifestyle and for having married three white women. Among those on hand for the White House ceremony was Jack Johnson's great-grandniece, Linda Haywood.
For so long, my family was deeply ashamed that my uncle went to prison because of how he was treated, and they never really spoke of him. And I've said many times, I did not realize and know he was my uncle until I was 12 years old because of the shame that the family carried, and most of them took it to their graves. By this pardon being issued, that would help to rewrite history and erase the shame and the humiliation that my family felt for my uncle, a great hero, being imprisoned unjustly.
Also at the White House ceremony were actor Sylvester Stallone, WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder, and former world heavyweight champion Lennox Lewis.
Jack Johnson is a great inspiration to me, especially throughout my whole career. And I was always wondering how comes he didn't get a lot of press and what the situation was with him. But I'm very happy that I was here at this historic day for Mr. Johnson and his family.
That's former world heavyweight boxing champion Lennox Lewis speaking here in Washington. Meanwhile, Sylvester Stallone described Jack Johnson as an incredible and truly inspirational character who was treated so unfairly. And speaking of inspiration, Stallone says Jack Johnson helped inspire the Apollo Creed character in his Rocky boxing movies. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball without that basketball.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Friday night in Cleveland, Ohio, where the Cleveland Cavaliers face a must-win situation against the Boston Celtics. The Cavs trail the Celtics 3-2 in the best-of-7 Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics, winners of a record 17 NBA championships, move closer to another trip to the NBA Finals with a 96-83 victory over the Cavaliers on Wednesday night in Boston. Meanwhile, in the Western Conference Finals, the Houston Rockets lead the defending champion Golden State Warriors 3-2. Associated Press reporter Adam Spillane tells us more from Houston, Texas.
The Houston Rockets lead the Western Conference Finals 3-2 after beating the Golden State Warriors 98-94 in Game 5. The Warriors had the ball down 2 with 6.7 seconds left, but Draymond Green couldn't handle a Stephen Curry pass, resulting in the Warriors' 16th turnover of the night.
We were supposed to score. I lost the ball. It's kind of not much more to it than that. You know, we wanted to get the ball to Steph. We got the ball to Steph, and he hit ahead of me, and I fumbled the ball. So, nothing more, nothing less.
And Eric Gordon iced the game with 2 free throws. Gordon says he isn't surprised his team pulled out a tough win.
We're a veteran team. We just know what to do. We know what it takes to win. We pride ourselves on defense, so it can create a lot of opportunities on offense.
Gordon led the Rockets with 24 points off the bench. 10 of those came in the fourth quarter. Kevin Durant's 29 points led Golden State.
Still confident, you know. We had some opportunities to win this game, last 2 games, and we didn't close it out. But we can learn from it, and, you know, we got another opportunity at home on Saturday, and we'll be ready to play.
Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. World football's governing body, FIFA, announced on Friday that Live It Up, a fast-paced dance tune, will be the official song of the 2018 World Cup in Russia. The song features American actor and rapper Will Smith, Puerto Rican-born singer Nicky Jam and the Albanian Kosovar singer Era Istrefi. Let's live it up, World Cup fans!
Roadblocks, one shot, one truth, no fears, one flag, all year, we've been waiting for this all year, where y'all at?
We right here!
Ya empezó la rumba y estamos celebrando, todo el mundo que me levante la mano, estamos vivos, hay que disfrutarlo, hoy nadie me detiene porque yo no sé parar, now, now.
One life, live it up, cause we got one life, one life, live it up, cause we got one life.
Under the sign, elevating their favorite sign when he hit and rhyme.
You wanted it, you got it. The whole world is watching, so let's get this popping.
We all out,
we right here. Only one life to live, got so much to give. Fighting for the nation now, that is my gift. Run like a champion and win like a king. That's my only goal, my everything. Live it up now, now.
That's Live It Up, the official song of the 2018 World Cup football tournament in Russia. It features American actor and rapper Will Smith, Puerto Rican-born singer Nicky Jam, and the Albanian Kosovar singer Era Istrefi. Will Smith, Nicky Jam, and Era Istrefi will be performing Live It Up live in front of all the fans in Russia at the World Cup final in Moscow on July 15th. Critics of the tune have pointed out, however, that Will Smith, Nicky Jam, and Era Istrefi all represent countries that didn't even qualify for the World Cup. What's up with that? What's up with that? I don't know, but get out there and dance to live it up. And that wraps up the May 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. Live it up, people! Live it up! And have a nice weekend, everyone. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. mission to Nigeria will send 60 young Nigerians to participate in the 2018 Mandela Washington Fellowship, or MFW, program for 6 weeks from June 20th to August 2nd. The Mandela Washington Fellowship is the flagship program of the Young African Leaders Initiative, known as YALI. It is composed of academic coursework, leadership training, and networking. A total of 5 out of the 60 fellows will remain in the United States for an additional 6 weeks to participate in a professional development experience at select U.S. companies and organizations. Through the Mandela Washington Fellowship, 27 U.S. universities will host 700 young leaders from sub-Saharan Africa for academic and leadership institutes focused on public management, business and entrepreneurship, and civic leadership. Nigeria's fellows represent the largest cohort from any one country. As part of the orientation, the U.S. Embassy invited 3 leading Nigerian professionals to participate in a mentoring workshop. Afolabi Imukedi, Senior Special Advisor to the Vice President on Job Creation, Sarah Maka Ubabi, One Campaign Country Director, and Lawrence Afere, 2014 MWF alumnus and founder of Springboard Farms. All 3 of them shared unique perspectives on leadership and opportunity. In his remarks, the U.S. Embassy Counselor for Public Affairs, Aruna Amirthanayagam, explained that more than 11,000 Nigerians applied to participate in the 2018 Mandela Washington Fellowship Program. After the review by our partner NGO, after reading by members of the Mission Nigeria community, after an interview in either Abuja, Lagos, Ibadan, Akuri, Enugu, Port Harcourt, and Calabar, a total of 60 young Nigerians were selected, he said. Mr. Amirthanayagam explained that Nigeria has the largest single cohort from any country in Africa, and this is in recognition of the fact that the U.S.-Nigerian relationship is one of the most important, not only in Africa, but in the world. Speaking at the reception by the U.S. Embassy in their honor, Chargé d'Affaires David Young urged the fellows to be generous with the unique opportunity they had been given. The United States is making an investment in you through academic coursework, leadership training, and networking. You will return to Nigeria later this summer with increased capital. Share that wealth with others.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.